Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks. Steve Geller with the Cajun Cannon. Bobby Hebert now happy to welcome in Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. Jeff, how you doing today, man? Short practice that we got to see, at least.
Yeah, Steve, I'm doing good. Could have used a little more time in the indoor facility. Why do they always do that to us when we're indoors? But when we're outside, they keep us out there frying in the heat for the entire time. You ever notice that?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, Jeff, I was a little prima donna. I was with the Saints alumni, so I was hanging out with Deuce. I was hanging out with Deuce, so I mean, I was like,
You were up in the VIP section. I saw you up there.
Yeah, they were feeding us even. That was pretty nice. You know, and I got to thank Evan.
Didn't you just have a birthday? Am I supposed to wish you a happy birthday?
Oh, yeah, today, yeah, August 19th. Me and the great Dane, Martin Anderson.
He doesn't even take days off for his birthday. Look at this guy.
You know what, Jeff? I never had a good birthday, unless when I was a little kid, because once I started playing football, it was always 2 days in August. And whether, you know, covering the team or you were playing, and you never want to let the team know it was your birthday because
they'd pull
pranks on you. And then this is a positive, my senior year in college. My oldest daughter, who turned 43 today, when she was born, it was all about her. So nothing about me. So, but it's all good. But yeah, a bunch of type A personalities. You know, me, Martin Anderson, Bill Clinton. So
nice. I thought there was a good turnout from the alumni today at the practice.
Yeah. There was about 25 of us. A lot of familiar faces. Pat Swilling looks like he still could play. Buford Jarns yoked. Buford, you put the pads on Buford, he would look like he can, you know, and he played fullback. He was outstanding at McNeese State. But some guys are like they play, some guys, no way.
Deuce would have to play nose tackle now. Moved on to other things.
Right, but as long as, look, if you could plug and play, you have to know your role. But it was great the Saints did this for us. And but now that's a great opportunity. Because I don't know how many guys would show up if they were stuck outside in the heat, but a controlled environment, you know, they'll show up. And the thing is, might say, well, Bobby, kind of, they're on the balcony if they play outside. But then if you're around, like, the VIPs who spend money with the Saints and all that, then they didn't want it to be an autograph session. So it was just us up there, and we can watch practice and mingle. So it was a pretty good thing the Saints did.
Yeah, look, I think it's great the organization continues to foster those relationships with the former players and cultivate that. I know it was important to Sean Payton and continued on with D.A. and Kellen Moore. It's nice to see that because I think that's important for the guys that you played with to still feel a part of the team
right.
And connection.
Yeah, it's just, something it was you look and we always obviously comment on how practice is going are they really hitting or are they not? I said some of them. I said no, you don't tackle no more, and then nobody does that. You don't explain.
How many times did you all say, yeah, this was back in my day? It wasn't.
Oh yeah. That's how like back in my day, I walked in the snow to get to the school bus stop, and that whole thing, and people want to see the main players, the players they want to see the Alvin Kamaras of the world. They want. Like, for instance, McCoy, somebody says, Bobby, why doesn't he play any preseason games? I said, I don't know. They want him healthy come week one against the Cardinals. You don't remember what happened last year? So,
well, here's the other thing, too, Bobby and Steve, is this team's, let's face it, I mean, it does not have a lot of great depth. And I think the coaches know that, and they're trying to preserve the health of the really indispensable players like Kamara and McCoy as much as they can. They know what they've gotten those guys. They don't need to see them.
Well, and Jeff, and you know what else? It was like game day, and they were giving Sean McVay, the business, the Rams coach, DeMario Davis, and Chase Young. They were bringing it. You'd have thought it was a game out there, and a couple of times, the prize running back for the Rams, maybe they really tackled them, and McVay was freaking out. I know Nathan Shepard one time, like, slammed him to the ground. I can't think of his name. From Notre Dame.
Kyron Williams.
I think he was even shocked how they hit him.
And, well, that's a good sign because I haven't seen enough of that from the Saints in this camp. So it's nice to see them be aggressive and physical because I think that's something in the back of my mind I'm still waiting to see. I feel like Sean Payton where he says, I don't need to see it all the time, but I need to see it at some point. Like, I feel the same way about the Saints' kind of physicality.
You know, Jeff, are you concerned? Obviously, you look like, who's healthy and not healthy. You got to have luck no matter what team as far as the injuries. And, okay, Trevor Penning, okay, turf toe. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, is he out the first couple of games? I don't think he's available week one. Or when is he actually available? But I think more importantly, that damn groin better be healed by Alante Taylor.
Yep.
And what they count on him to do and how important he is to the defense. That, to me, you know how they don't have to give an injury report? That's kind of a mystery. Okay, how healthy is Alante Taylor? Is he going to be ready to roll week one against the Cardinals?
Yeah, he was in the locker room today after practice, and he got out of there pretty quick, which means, you know, he didn't want to talk about it. But I could not agree more. I'd say, if we're being honest, he's one of probably the two most indispensable players on the defense this year, strictly because they drop off pretty precipitously after him as far as playmaking ability at that star position. That's Brandon Staley's playmaking position in the defense. Derwin James played there. Jalen Ramsey played there. Only so many guys have that kind of size and physicality to play that spot, and the Saints don't have anybody else like Alante Taylor to man it. So, yes, he needs to be healthy 100%. And Trevor Penning with that turf toe, Bobby, you know this. I mean, that's a finicky injury, man. I remember Mark Ingram had one a few years back, and I think he missed like 8 games with it. He missed almost half a season. So I think it all depends on the severity of the injury, and I don't think it helps that Trevor Penning's a huge human being. You know, it doesn't help to have all that weight on your toe like that. So I'd say him week one is probably going to be ruled out soon.
Now, Jeff, when you look at like, I don't know, because everyone follows the football, a lot of the casual fan, and you look at the skilled people. Is this too far-fetched? Because I witnessed today in practice, man, Rashid Shaheed was on fire. With Spencer Rattler. Man, they came out the gate smoking. Like chunk play of the chunk play, 60-yard bomb. It was in the 40-yard play. No, it was like one after the other.
We've been dying to see that.
And I'm thinking... Okay, Chris Olave, you know, everybody says, who's wide receiver one? You know, I say, who's first string, second string? I don't know. They all got to play, contribute. But I think, how a quarterback has confidence in you. Do you think, and it's a big year for Chris Olave, contract year, but Rashid Shaheed might at times be the go-to guy over Chris Olave. I think Chris Olave runs outstanding routes, but I think how Rashid Shaheed's getting better as a receiver, how his route running, and more upside. Now, I don't know if that could happen. And I want you to comment on that. And then also, okay, we think Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks had, you know, a couple of catches. He did good in Los Angeles. But I look at Brandon Cooks, Mason Tipton might end up being the number three guy. But I don't know. I look at if you're number three or number four, you're part of the offense, they got to count on you. Who got the single coverage? You got to win. Let's say whether it would be Brandon Cooks or Tipton. But what's your take on all that competition there?
Yeah, look, that's a great point because I think Shaheed has really blossomed this year, improved a lot. I think he's running the entire route tree now. He's not just a go or a hitch guy.
Right.
And you can just see the confidence in him. And then, in turn, all the quarterbacks realize he's the go-to guy right now. I would say he's had certainly a more impressive camp than Olave, but I think they're bringing Olave along somewhat slowly. They know what they have in him. But this could end up being one of those years, sort of like in the prime Breeze years when it really kind of came week to week who was going to be the guy. If you remember back then, I mean, they had Robert Meacham, Devery Henderson, Lance Moore, Marcus Golston. I mean, one of those guys, it could be their week, and they could star. It didn't really – even though Colston was kind of the number one guy week to week, you didn't know who was going to be the number one go-to target. And I think it could be like that this year, but – I'm still waiting on Cooks to see if he's the emerging number three guy because I just haven't seen it so far in camp. He may be just pulling the vet move on us and going to turn it on when the season starts, but I haven't seen much of it so far in camp.
Well, the best thought I took on him, he had the play of the day was when they practiced against each other last week before they practiced against the Rams. And it had been about a 25, 30-yard gain. He made an outstanding catch that was thrown behind him, and he had some hops on him. Man, it looked like he could have dunked the basketball. I said, that was a great catch. So that caught my attention. I said, oh, that's definitely the play of the day. So I seen him flash in Irvine a couple of times. So, yeah, because we always tend to look at the skill people and then who's covering the skill people. I can tell you this. Look how much we're counting on Kool-Aid McKinstry. Man, he can't just be good. He has to be almost, now, I don't know if it's fair or not, but he has to be how, you know, we were trusting Lattimore and Paulson and Debo. Well, he got to mature right quick, you know, going into his second year. And the thing is with Kool-Aid and, you know, matchups, I was talking with Deuce about this. I go, I can tell you right now, and looking, now, not everybody has Davante Adams, whatever, and that's a bigger receiver. But I say, McVay, if we were playing the Rams and Kool-Aid's on an island with Davante Adams, I guarantee you he's getting 14, 15 targets. Now, you mix up the coverage, so the help out Kool-Aid, not 100%, but now and then you have a defender over the top, so you're basically doubling him or maybe mix it up in and out, but you can't just put him on an island. But if you're not going against Davante Adams, you need Kool-Aid to play with confidence, and he made some plays today. Then to have that swagger where the guy on the outside, if you have Alante on the inside, he needs to come up big. I know you'd agree with that. Now, the best pass coverage is a pass rush, but Kool-Aid, he has to be a team strength. It can't definitely be like, oh, well, he's just another guy out there.
I think you could make a case other than Chase Young, Kool-Aid McKinstry's been the best defensive player so far in camp.
I mean,
he's really looked very confident. I think there's a reason the Saints moved on from Marshon Lattimore. They had confidence in Kool-Aid McKinstry. And Bobby, I think to your point about getting, you know, on an island, I don't think Brandon Staley is going to do much of that. I think there's going to be a big change in how the Saints cover on the back end. I think they're going to be a lot more match zone.
Right.
I know Dennis Allen played a lot more of that later in his tenure here, but that's the way the whole league's going. You don't see a ton of just straight man-to-man the way DA like to play it. I think they're going to be a little more zone heavy, and especially knowing you know, how this team's built, they may you know, try to protect some of that secondary, because right now I don't think the Saints even know who the third corner is on this team, and that's a starting role in the NFL these days, and I don't think any of us know who that third corner is right now.
You know, Jeff, I'm glad you brought up that match zone. You know, to explain to the fans and, you know, who that nation, what that is, and teams are getting more to this. You know, like a basic coverage is like three deep zone where you have a third, or cover two deep zone, where now you could play a soft cover two, or and if you look at the cover four, where they call it quarters, and maybe you could disguise it as cover two, and then everybody has like, instead of a third, you got a quarter, quarter, quarter across the board. But when you say the term, like Jeff just said, matchup zone, you know what ends up happening? Because the DB's got a clock in their head. That's why you got to have a pass rush. They got a clock in their head. Now, you can't let a quarterback break the pocket and run all around. Then you can't cover someone forever. But they have a zone, and you're not staying strictly zone. That's why I said matchup zone. Like, okay, who's in your zone? Cover them man-to-man. Yep. Then all of a sudden, it's like it turns into man coverage. And when it's out, that, the teams that really do that good, and that, like Jeff said, a lot of teams are doing this, because it's not putting defenders on an island. It's not like Darrell Revis. You remember like a Revis Island? Or you know who we're going to see? I don't think he's not going to play Saturday. Like Pat Surtain. He was an NFL defensive player of the year. No, him you could put on an island. But like Deion. But it's like that's a small fraternity. And so to help the confidence, a lot of these young DBs and all that, now you got to learn that skill set. Is that doing that matchup zone makes all the difference in the world how you can have success at defense. I like what Coach Taylor's doing in that regard.
Yeah, and I tell you, who started most of that is Vic Fangio, who Brandon Staley coached under.
Yep, Vic Fangio.
And the Saints, I'm telling you, Bobby, back when Sean Payton and Drew Brees were rolling here and they were lighting up the league, they changed how defenses played around the league. It was this offense here in New Orleans that was dominating for over a decade, and defensive coordinators said, we can't let that happen. And everybody started playing too high safeties, shell coverage, and not letting the Saints get all those explosive plays. They changed the league.
Jeff, always great hearing from you. Appreciate the time, and see you in the Dome tomorrow.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me on, as always.
All right, Jeff.
Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com, joining us there.